Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على صلاة هيا على صلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت يري الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير نشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Wa jumu'ah mubarak and a blessed day of gathering. Amma ba'an. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bal naqzifu bilhaqqa ala batili. فَيَدْمَغُوهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَحِيقُ قُلْ لَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَحْسِفُونَ صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this 18th verse of the 21st chapter of Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the prophets, an expression of it is, nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, and it knocks out its brains. And behold, falsehood does perish. Woe to you for the false things you ascribe to us. Another verse we'd like to add to this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَقْوَى إِذَا مَسَاهُ طَاعِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Sadaq Allah al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken truth. And it says, surely when those who have the consciousness that Allah would have them, whenever a thought of evil from shaitan that deludes them, they think and then they see.
correctly.
Sadaq al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. A hadith of Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we read an expression of and add to this as well, is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of Dawood. Dawood, we know, is the one who went to war with Goliath. The prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of Dawood. The fast which Allah loves the most is that of Dawood. He would sleep for half of the night, stand up in prayer for a third of the night, and then sleep for a sixth of the night, and he would fast every other day. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, bi'iznillah, with the help and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'd like to establish this point. That is, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. And fasting and other perennial and eternal sacred practices that Allah has prescribed through the ages and that Allah has preserved through the life of the prophets, these are for the perfection of our human life as a way of protection from being deceived by falsehood, and as a means of creating the best life that this world has to offer and gaining the blessing of a blessed eternal life when our existence here ends. MashaAllah, inshaAllah, we pray that for us now and in the future. Today is the 33rd part of the subject that began maybe almost exactly a year ago, inshallah. I haven't went back to look. Somewhere very close there, too. The science of truth and reality, and this is the 33rd part. I'd like to bring out some of the details of that statement that I just read to you, and that is, be careful not to mute anybody, beginning with the first line, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. Alhamdulillah, this day, this Jum'ah, alhamdulillah, is the one just prior to the beginning of Ramadan this year, inshallah, which is likely to begin either Monday or Tuesday. Or as far as the new moon, literally the new moon. I'm talking about the new moon, no moon, the when you can't even see it, but it was born. It's either Monday or Tuesday. And so the fast. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the fast of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, is upon us, which is also one of the reasons I wanted to bring in the hadith regarding Dawood from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of its significance and what the Prophet has to say about it, and also the very significant bearing that it has on the entire subject, maybe even the conclusion of it, inshallah. So, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, and we celebrate its coming. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Just when you just think about it, think about how many things people celebrate its coming. You know, America has the 4th of July, and So many other great moments that are celebrated in the history of man. Go around the world and look at the various cultures and look at their various celebrations. and the inaugural celebrations of these things that a given culture deems to be sacred and important and of high significance for the lives of those people, alhamdulillah, for 1.5 billion people or so in the world, Ramadan celebrates the coming into the world of the last revelation from the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the world, Allahu Akbar. That is, the Quran, he comes and it's a proof of the existence of Allah. The Quran is a proof of the existence of Allah. I'm going to say that again. The Quran is a proof of the existence of Allah. I'll give you a little simple movie reference because I want you to feel the richness of that fact. That movie, Contact. Right, that movie Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey and what have you. You know, so she was one of the scientists is looking for SETI, signs of extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI. So they got all these big satellite dishes pointed out into deep space, looking for some patterned signals that had to be generated by some form of intelligence. Okay, so then something comes, right? And when it comes, they have all their time trying to figure out what it is, et cetera, et cetera. And when they figure it out, then they build it. And after they build it, it doesn't act to the visual, to the vision, to the physical eye in the way that the physical eye of those, quote, unquote, on Earth expected a vehicle for space travel to act. It didn't go up. It just dropped into the water beneath its structure. And so, you know, the rest of the story is all about something else. But the point is that was proof of extraterrestrial life in that fictional representation. Is that was proof. The proof was received. The proof was gained. The proof was had. The proof was followed. And the proof led one, Jodie Foster's character, led one to that truth, led one to that reality, but the rest of the world did not have the direct benefit of that experience, so they didn't affirm or confirm or have the same kind of conviction, of course, that she had because she actually had the experience. Point is that came in became a proof that there's life out there, there's intelligent life out there. Using that to help us to appreciate the Quran coming into this world that came through the heart, mind of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the heart more especially. There's the other aspects of it, but Allah revealed it upon his heart. So, and then it was brought into the world, recorded, memorized, etc., and we still have it. We have what the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, revealed as his last direct message in that way to mankind, to serve human beings until the end of time. It's a big deal. So in Ramadan, we are celebrating the coming of the last revelation. And we are to be reminded every time we look at it, every time we say it, every time we think about it, we are looking at, saying, and thinking about a word from the one who created and the one who sustains all things. And the richness of it is let's call it the second part of that reality. The second part, okay, here it is. Now, what is it? What does it do? How do you benefit from it? And until those who receive it engage it according to its nature and its intention, because Allah has and had an intention for it coming into the life of man. And it's the responsibility of the human being to open it up, read it, absorb it, apply it, learn it, remember it, etc., so as to get from it what Allah, by his intention and by his revelation, promises by his will to happen in the world. So one of the most powerful and the most significant properties of man, human beings, is his ability to think. Those who are the most significant in this world, the ability to think. And when I say in this world, I'm not talking now, oftentimes we say that we think, you know, the Western world and different things like that. No, I mean in three-dimensional space. I mean as Homo sapiens. Our most powerful tool, part of the series early on, that hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah says, I have not created anything more excellent than you, speaking of that obedient intellect that he created. So its capacity for thought and what thought brings about in the world is most significant. However, the thought itself and the mind of human beings operate upon a principle that we've come to call garbage in and garbage out. Garbage in and garbage out, meaning that, yes, you can think, use those cognitive tools, but the material that you input into your machinery, that is your mind, to think upon, if the material is garbage, the conclusions are going to be garbage. So that tool needs the most excellent input in order to arrive at the most excellent results. Thus, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in the world. Doesn't matter how intelligent and how high an IQ, how capable of reasoning people are in the world. If the content of that and the direction for that IQ and that rationality, et cetera, is false, garbage, evil, et cetera, then that's not leading and it won't lead to the best life. So the celebration of the coming of the Quran into the world and understanding the significance of that beyond ritual is critical. And so these verses of the Quran, we'll read the expression of them, 14, that's Ibrahim, I believe, 14, 24 through 27, helps us deepen our appreciation for that statement. It says, do you not see how Allah sets forth a parable, a goodly word like a goodly tree whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens, and it brings forth its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord? So Allah sets forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. And the parable of an evil word is that of an evil tree. It is torn up by the roots from the surface of the earth. It has no stability. Allah will establish in strength those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will lead to stray those who do wrong. Allah does what he wills. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. So, thinking is the most useful function for us in this world. But thinking requires the right input to be thought upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us a book, material, to shape and guide our thinking so that our thinking will be the most effective thinking in the world. In the world, understand this, anthropologically, biologically, human beings, one scientist puts it, the reason that we have cranial size that we have, the brain size that we have, is because of what he calls a cognitive arms race. A cognitive arms race. What do you mean a cognitive? Like you have a nuclear arms race, meaning that everybody's trying to build a bigger bomb? Well, human beings, if you haven't recognized it here, but you should have recognized it, certainly in the 20th century. The 20th century is the bloodiest century in human history, the 20th century, the one we just came out of. So man hasn't always been a friend to all men everywhere. Indeed, we all, in various ways, human beings, fought each other, tribe against tribe, and as it evolved, nation against nation, and et cetera, to each one seeking to dominate the other one. But that was a battle that was not grounded exclusively or especially in physical prowess and physical might. Those battles evolved to the place where you can have the physical might, but if you didn't have the right thinking, strategy, etc., the ability to consider what your enemy is thinking, how they're thinking, and what they're using as a power against you, and what is the nature of their power, and what therefore is their weakness. If you couldn't figure that out, well, then you're going to wind up being their slaves, their captives. You're going to be brought under their sway and power because you couldn't outthink them. It wasn't just the matter of physical might. I mean, I think about it. You look at that history. You look at what Japan did to China. Go back and look at that history, Japan. Okay, look at the size of China and look at the size of Japan. And look at what the Japanese did to the Chinese in the history of their conflict. Okay? So size doesn't matter from a physical perspective if the brain, the strategy of the one is superior to the bigger opposition, but they don't have the right strategy. That is literally the David and Goliath paradigm or scenario. Goliath much bigger than David, and God gives what I just said. Allah gives us that in the Quran in that lead up to David's battle with Goliath, because the believers who crossed over that stream and weren't undone by it, by drinking from it, they said, how often has God vanquished a large force with a small force? See, now, when you bring your brain into it, bring your intellect into it, you don't just think in terms of physical numbers as being the force. Of course, that's the first place you're going to go. But it's not the size, per se, but it is the strategy that it seems like a small thing. But that small thing is a big thing when your opposition is depending on something that they are considering as being bigger and having more might, et cetera, and they fail to understand that there's some leverage in what's coming against you that you don't understand. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for the believer, He's given them fuel for that most powerful organ and most important organ, whereby if they feed upon it, the Quran, feed upon the Quran, use the Quran as the food for their thought, then they are going to have a mind, quote unquote, that is effectively bigger than the other minds. They won't be small-minded. They will have the capacity to hold bigger ideas and more powerful ideas, ideas that have more gravity, ideas that have more weight, ideas that have more force. And that's what's in the Quran. There is a universe in the Quran. And when we take that Quran inside and those ideas are given place in our thinking, that's where great power is. So we say again, the Quran, the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. And so Allah says it in 27 of 14, where it says, He, Allah, will establish in strength those who believe. You come to the Quran with faith. You come to the Quran with belief. You come to the Quran recognizing this book is from the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. And I don't care how smart anybody thinks they are from an IQ perspective. What happens? It's like, no, if you come to that, if you come to this book without faith, you're not getting out of it what's in it. You're not getting out of it what's in it. It says, none but the purified shall touch you. What has to be purified? Your thinking has to be purified. Your intention has to be purified. Your motivation has to be purified. And when we come as servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intending to serve Allah with what he blesses us with from the Quran, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and if you are grateful, I will give you more. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So this blessed month of Ramadan is a time where, hey, you can store it up. You talk about investment. Invest in reading the Quran, seeking what Allah has in it for you. And you will, by the grace of Allah, by the permission of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, you will leave the month of Ramadan and even your reading, whatever that setting might be, you will leave it with more than you came with because of your faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he will establish with strength those who believe, establish in strength those who believe. How is he going to do it? With a word, with the word that stands firm in this world, meaning you want something solid that you can rest your life upon, it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that word that he sent into the world and that we receive now in the form of a book. That word is firm in this world and in the life that comes after this life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But Allah, he says in the final part of 27 of chapter 14, but Allah, he says, he will leave to stray those who do wrong, and Allah does what he wills. Okay, can you feel the power of Allah? I know in Christian language, you get there, say, a God is no respecter of persons. That's not our favorite language. It's not our language per se. But you understand the gist of it. God is no respecter of persons. It's just like Hajj, for example. You know, with Hajj, when you go to Hajj, you can't wear your crown if you're the king. You can't wear your badge if you're the chief of police. You know, you can't wear your ribbons if you're an army colonel, general, whatever. No. Put on the same thing everybody else puts on. Do the same thing that everybody else does. And don't you argue and don't you wrangle and don't you think you guarantee the front row seat to whatever. No, you're just one among a billion. Well, that's how it is with Allah. That is our understanding of Allah is no respecter of persons. So, dear beloved brother and sister, Allah, if you do wrong, Allah will not guide those. He said he will lead you astray. And this straying is that wandering and wondering. MashaAllah. And he says, and Allah does what he wills. Sometimes we think if we cry enough when we're praying, or we moan enough when we sit and reflect on God. God, why me? How come I'm going through this? If we wail and shout enough, then maybe we can make God do something. No. Allah does what he will. Allah does what he will. He may answer, he may not answer. But Allah says always, he says that they ask thee concerning me. Allah says, tell him, I'm always near. Allah is always near and listening. So Ramadan celebrates the coming of the Quran into the world. Another part of our statement is that fasting and the other perennial and eternal sacred practices that Allah has prescribed through the ages and are preserved in the scriptures through the lives of the prophets are for the perfection of our human life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. One of the verses that we often use to open the khutbah, which is said to be the last of the revelations to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat, wa raditu lakum al-islam al-deen. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma akmaltu, this day have I perfected for you. This is to the ones who've been blessed to receive the Quran and their hearts are sincere to it, the revelation and the acceptance of al-Islam. El Yoma Akmel, this day have I perfected for you your way of life. You don't have to have, you don't need big, long books of philosophy, big, long books of political science, economic science. Those things can come out when you try to detail for your particular people what they need. That's fine, but that's not what you start with. You start with the precepts and those established truths that Allah reveals in the Quran. And it's perfect for your way of life. Deen is everything in life. I have perfected for you everything you need in your life. I akmaltu lakum, for you, I've done it for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat, and I have completed. You know, sometimes somebody say, kayfa al-hal? How are things? What's your condition? One of the responses, kulli shayin tamam. Kulli shayin tamam. What does it mean? Everything is perfect. Alhamdulillah, everything is perfect. Kulli shayin tamam. Allah says, "Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat." Allahu Akbar. It said, "And I have perfected my favor upon you." Atmamtu alaykum ni'mat. My graces. There were no Rolls Royces there when his revelation came. There were no, you know, 10,000 square foot mansions. There were no island owned. There were no vaults filled with gold among the Muslims at this time. There was not even political hegemony in the world for Muslims at that time. So the things that are deemed to be the highest in the world, Muslims in so many ways didn't have those outward elements that would, if you looked at this statement purely from that perspective, you would expect them to have. No. Allah said, what I have given you in this Quran with the life model of Prophet Muhammad that has been lived out in front of you and all the precepts and the content in that revelation that is now complete, I have given you everything you need for your life. And I have giving you a perfect, if you were to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Allah said, if you were to ask me for what you thought was the perfect favor, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be it. It wouldn't be fit. It wouldn't be near perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I have perfected my graces upon you. And what is it all? It's all summed up in what? وَرَدِيتُ لَقُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. And I am happy for you to have al-Islam as your way of life. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's like Allahu Akbar. So you got, what else is there to look for? And if you don't have a sense of that, if you don't have a sense, I mean a sense of that, if that's like, I'm over my head. You must be new to al-Islam, or you must not be as open to al-Islam as you believe yourself to be. Because the only thing left into it, get into it, get in what? The way of life that is the Islamic way of life. I know there's a lot of different ways that people are representing that, but if you keep yourself to the Quran and what Allah has revealed, yes, you do have to learn how to read it in its original language, so nobody has to filter it for you. Nobody has to screen it for you. Nobody has to spoon feed you with it. You can read it yourself and with your own heart, your own spirit, and with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be able to live that life in this world according to what your needs are. Because what's a favor to you in the particular might not be a favor to me. What's a blessing to you in the particular may not be a blessing to me. An understanding that you need from the verses of the Quran may not be the understanding that I need or that I receive from that same verse, and vice versa. Life. So Allah has done this favor, completed this favor upon each and every one of us, and every one of us who read this book. We are reading a book that's peculiar to each one of us. There are as many Qurans, if you're understanding what I'm saying, there are as many Qurans as there are Muslims and people for that matter. There are as many Qurans. Because you come with who you are and what you are, and you bring to it what you bring to it. And it responds to you according to who you are and what you bring to it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That is Allah's grace and mercy. So we see in the lives of the prophets, peace be upon him, upon them all, Allah has in each era, in each period, in each one, as the hadith says, that the likeness of the prophets is like one man who built a building. Each one brings something, and they... A person goes around the structure and says how perfect it would be, how perfect it is in its beauty and its symmetry, and how much more, how perfect it would be were it but for the absence of that one brick. There's one brick missing. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am that brick. So then that's the perfection of it. That's the completion of it. The completion and the perfection of that structure comes with the Prophet. But each one of the Prophets brought something to the project. And the Prophet brought the last, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And so Dawood, he also is a model for attributes and qualities that, which if lived out, would lead to the beautiful, wonderful type of life that his life represents. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Prophet said, peace be upon him, the prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of David. And the fast which Allah loves the most is that of David. He would sleep half of the night and stand up in prayer for a third and then sleep for a sixth. He would fast every other day. So what is the connection between the science of truth and reality and the eternal battle of human beings against falsehood? What is their connection with Daud? Peace be upon him. It connects to the verse that we opened with. Bel naqzivu bilhaq ala batili fayadmaghuhu fa'iza huwa zahiqa. وَلَّكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَحْسِفُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood and it knocks out its brain. Behold, falsehood doth perish, and Allah, and woe to you for the false things that you ascribe to Allah. The Prophet's hadith says, narrated by Abu Huraira, it says, I heard Allah's apostle saying, I have been sent with Jawamil Kalim, the shortest expression carrying the widest of meanings, meaning that I give you short expressions, but they have wide meanings. And it goes on. And I was made victorious with awe, meaning fear being cast into the hearts of his enemies. And while I was sleeping, the keys of the treasures of the earth were brought to me and were put in my hand. Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jawami al-Kalim means that Allah expresses in one or two statements or thereabouts the numerous matters that used to be written in the books revealed before the coming of the Prophet. So is the Quran. The Quran is Jawami al-Kalim in that the Prophet received it, and it is a book that says in short words, short sentences, short verses, what it took volumes in previous revelation to bring, not just to speak of the philosophers and the seers and the others that came before the Prophet's time. Took volumes, and the Quran concisely makes expressions of those things that would otherwise take volumes. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been given the Quran and something like it, and something like it. So the Prophet's words also function in the same way. So what is the significance of this? Let's go back to that hadith of Daud, where it says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, speaking of Daud's fast, he said, he would sleep, or his prayer for that matter, or his way of being in actuality. The fast is the last part. So he's speaking about his way of worship. He would sleep half of the night, stand up in prayer for a third of the night, and then sleep for a sixth of the night. Now, if I threw up three choices, you don't have the benefit of using calculators or anything like that. I ask you right now, and you answer for yourself, right? So is one half, one third, and one sixth, is that equal to one? Is that equal to less than one, or is that equal to more than one? If I have one half, one third, and one sixth, is that less than, more than, or is it a whole, right? There are going to be different answers. I doubt that everybody could get the right answer. I think intuitively meaning coming right at it, just you hear it for the first time and somebody presses you for an answer, I think most of us would not be sure at all. We would have said, oh, no, it seems like it's more. No, it seems like it's less. Then somebody said, well, it's one. How are you going to know that? And think about who he's talking to. He's talking to, like, the debate that's coming. Expect it to come. It comes every year, Ramadan. It comes every year. was there a Hillel? Is there not a Hillel? Are we going to do it by calculation? Are we not going to do it by calculation? Okay. That debate goes on. Alhamdulillah. Keeps you thinking. MashaAllah. Don't lose your iman behind it. MashaAllah. Take a breath and move on. Because that day, that night is going to be over at some point in time. And Ramadan is going to be over at some point in time. So don't get overexercised. It will be what Allah decides, and mashallah, and all will be peace. Okay? Inshallah. All right. Now, but one of the arguments goes that the prophets, the people of the Arabs, were not a people of calculation. They were not a people of calculation. We didn't do numbers, quote unquote. I'm putting myself in that group. We didn't do numbers. So when the prophet says one half, one third, one sixth, to people like that, if that, given that that's true, well then what was he actually telling them? And what did they actually take from that? What does that mean? Well, alhamdulillah, now you have to bring your thinking to it to get a sense of what it means. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. And what that means is, as was stated about the Quran, it will be among the three that is at the throne in the judgment. And one of those three is the Quran that has its implicit and explicit meanings. And the Prophet said, I've been given the Quran. Yes, that is Jawami al-Kalim, but also I've been given something like it. I've been able to say in few words something that would take volumes also to say. So what about this one half, one third, one sixth? You have to go to the decimal system to get the answer. Was the decimal system existing at the time of the Prophet? I'm not sure. I don't think so. That's not me knowing. But I certainly know that the Arabs that he was talking to didn't know it. Okay. So you say, so what's one half? 0.50. What's one third? You can say 0.33. No, you got to add the next three. It's continuous. 0.333. All right, well, what's 1/6? If you go short, you're going to say 0.16. No, too short. You got to go 0.167, 167. So now when you add 0.50, 0.333, and 0.167, what do you get? One. It's one. Now, what kind of brain did the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have to make a statement like that? And you're gonna think that there's no wisdom in that? There's no wisdom? He just said the number. Really? No, you know that. We don't have time. We're gonna keep going. The point is that it comes out to be one. One. So furthering its connection with Daoud, it connects spiritually and metaphysically to Daoud in his victory over Goliath, which is representing in universal and abstract language what's stated in 21:18. 21:18 is that core verse. Allah projects the truth against falsehood. He throws truth against falsehood and knocks out his brain, etc. So that is a representation of that, because how many stones did Daoud need in order to knock out Goliath? Just one. Let me read you a little something from the previous scripture. 1 Samuel 17:37-40 gives it all, but I'm just going to read a little bit from it. That Saul said to David, Saul is Talut in the Quran. See, we don't get the details in the Quran about certain things. Well, these are some details that are significant for us as well, and Allah knows best. So it says, so Saul said to David, go to the Lord. Now, for those of you out here, the Lord, you're talking about Jesus. Really? Jesus wasn't around at that time. Okay? And in any case, when it says the Lord, we know that's not the case, so I have to cover that because it's who we're talking to. The 17th chapter and the 110th verse, it says, call on Allah or call upon Rahman by whatever name you call upon him. It is well, for to him belong the most beautiful name. So we know at this time, Daoud, who is one of our prophets, one of God's prophets, and we know that his Lord was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no question about it. And those that he was fighting against in this representation were those who were not worshipers of Allah, who was missioning Dawood and had missioned Talud or Saul. That was 37. 38, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, meaning gave him this jacket or whatever to wear, and then he put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened his sword over this tunic, and then he tried to walk around. David, now you know David was a boy, so he tried to walk around in all this armor that he had, and because he wasn't used to them, he said, I can't go with this. I can't go in these. I can't use these. So he said to Saul that, no, I can't use these. And so he took them off. Dawood took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, real critical stuff. He took his staff in his hand. Let me go ahead and say it. We spent so much time on the significance of the rod of Moses. So the staff is actually a symbol of brain and nervous system. It's a symbol of brain and nervous system. We went through another series on that whole thing. And the distinction of that is also critical. If you take the time to go look further in when Dawood spoke back to Goliath for mocking and acting against the Lord of the children of Israel, he talked to him about the things that he brought, and the staff wasn't one of them. He had things, he had spears, javelins, sword, I think those three things, those were the things that Goliath brought. But you're told in advance here that what David brought, first thing he grabbed was his staff. And then David said, you're coming at me with a javelin, with a spear, and with a sword, right? Well, what's the difference? The difference is that the illusion for us came with his brain. He came with his intellect. He came with the consciousness that Allah would have him come with. But moving on from that, he said, and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. We can't take all the time to cover all of this, but the five smooth stones, they relate to so many things. I'll just hit them and move very briskly. The stream, spiritual. The stone, logical. The streams from the stone, they've been made smooth because of the stream, right? And that smoothness of the rock is speaking of spiritual logic. And we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you understand the masdar of that sunnah, you will also find in it the meaning of spiritual logic, the meaning of spiritual logic. So the point is that he took five smooth stones, and for us, it's the spiritual logic of the five pillars of Al-Islam. The five pillars of Al-Islam, these practices. We're not going into the full history of all of this. But also, you remember that in the story of the Quran, there were those who were tested at the stream. And this is what they were told. They were told, you're going to be tested at the stream, and anybody who drinks of it goes not with me, but a sip out of the hand will be excused. And when they got to the stream, that test, that trial, that would otherwise be a purification for them, all of them drank except the few. But those who got over, when they got over that, they had an empowerment that those who dropped out didn't have. But at the same time, those that didn't have the next stage of development, when they saw Goliath, they said, oh, no, we can't deal with it. Even though they got over the stream, when they saw what they were actually faced with, they couldn't deal with it. But then the ones who got it, who understood it, they applied the spiritual logic to strengthen themselves by saying, how often has God, by a small force, vanquished a large force? What is that? That's reasoning. That's thinking. That's logic. That's spiritual logic. That's a logic based on the foundation that God is God. God is real. God's truth is reality. And God's truth is what creates and who repeats. And this is not the first time this has happened. The believers understand. This is not the time this happened. This happened before. Well, Dawood took five smooth stones out of that very stream, and he's coming now with that strong spiritual logic. And then what happens? And this means to us, and this, one of the things it should mean for us, is that when you master the metaphysics of what opposes you, then you can use that metaphysical understanding to defeat it. When you have the metaphysical understanding, we detailed on all that, don't get scared. Oh, what are you talking about, metaphysical? Islam don't believe in metaphysics. Come on. There's the physical and there's metaphysical, right? Gravity, mathematics, abstract composites, things that exist in the world that make the world operate the way that it operates, but it carries no weight. But I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to go into that right now. The point is, this is the fact. How often has God, by a small force, vanquished a large force? How big do you think a boson is? Let's go with that. A boson. How big do you think they are? And how much power, force, energy do you think is in one photon? One photon. It's not calculable. Now, hey, what did they drop on Nagasaki and Hiroshima? What did they drop? Was it called a building bomb? Okay, was it called an airplane bomb? What is it called? A boulder bomb? It was called an atom. An atom. It didn't say an atom bomb. It was an atom bomb. How often has God, with a small force, vanquished a large force? What power is that? That's metaphysical. It has a physical. The point is that the principle behind it is not concrete. But let's move on. So Daoud taking 5 smooth stones from there is a statement of someone who has reached the perfection of the spiritual logic and knows how to undo his enemy with it and not be undone by the enemy. Those who drank from the stream, they got the sharr, they got the fear, they got the anxiety, they got the doubt. But those who got over that aspect of themselves and understood it as a source of weakness, if you don't stick with faith and keep moving and keep thinking, they get defeated. But the Dawoods of the world are those who understand the metaphysical strength and weakness of their enemies, and thereby they can defeat it. And so many other things, those 5 in the stream of the fish that was lost when Musa went looking for Abraham. I'm mentioning this, looking for the wise man. I'm mentioning this because, and I know we're running a little bit long, you'll soon know why. The search, when Musa went for the search and his attendant was carrying the fish and they were looking for the place where the two rivers meet, and then they went far behind, and then when Moses took his rest upon the rock and he asked his attendant to bring him the fish, and the fish told him, the fish got away, and it went straight through a channel in this water. And Moses said, that's the place we're looking for. What place are you looking for? You're looking for the place where the two rivers meet. What? Spiritual and logical. Where the spiritual and the logical, where the physical and the metaphysical, where these things that would otherwise, that are put into conflict with each other, where they meet is where the reconciliation, where the truth, where the inspiration is to be found. And the fish went straight in the channel. And so, again, speaking to that spiritual life, these are references, we say, and Allah knows best, of the source of the 5 smooth stones that Dawood brought. And finally, for that connection, where it says, the Prophet asked, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, if a man had flowing in front of his door a stream and he bathed in it 5 times a day, would there be any uncleanness on him? He said, no, he would be perfectly clean. So then this is also speaking of salat, of course, And so the five is the five daily prayers, the five pillars of Al-Islam, the five senses purified, the five having to do with the spiritualizing and everything that, that goes with it. That's what Dawood came to battle with. And who is Dawood? Dawood is the love of God. When you love Allah completely, fully, with the purity of intention and motivation, and you are a thinker. So much to be said about Dawood and Suleiman. And that will come at another time, inshallah. But the point is that he also put them in his shepherd's pouch, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And the verse goes on, and this will be the end of our reference from the Bible, where it says, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose," speaking of Goliath, "and came and drew nigh to meet Dawood," we say Dawood, it's David in the Bible, "that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And Dawood put his hand in his bag, and he took out of it one stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, and that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face on the earth." This is 1 Samuel 17:48-49. So he didn't need all of those stones. How many stones? He only needed one. He only needed one stone. He didn't need number two, number three, number four, number five. All he needed was one. And he hit him in the forehead with that one stone, and that was the end of it. Allah casts the truth against falsehood and knocks out his brain. Goliath is a symbol, a representation of all lies, all falsehood, all delusions, all illusions, all those being cast. What's coming to mind is that old 1984 introductory commercial that Apple came with against 1984. They had this woman running in there, everybody is all grayed out or what have you, all uniform and under the hypnotic spell and the illusion cast by Big Brother, and she comes in with this hammer, you know, like in the Olympics hammer, and swing it, boom, and crashed that was casting the illusion over the people and busted it open. Well, that's how Allah and that's how Dawood cast the truth against the source of the delusion, the source of the lie, the source of the falsehood, and put an end to it. And that's what happens when the truth comes. So the one of this hadith of Dawood is Tawheed. It is the beginning of our series. We started with Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, beginning with Allahu la ilaha illahu, all the way to the end. We went through the Tawood, and we went through what the science and the role of science in dispelling that, and now here we are at one again. It only took one stone to hit Goliath in the forehead and sink into his forehead and end him. It is that force of the spiritual logic of faith in Allah, at tawheed with aqidah, meaning you say you believe in Allah, but check and make sure that you're believing in Allah who revealed the Quran, Allah who sent Muhammad, Allah who gave us the way of life, al-Islam, and demonstrated its perfect practice in the life and through the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure that that is the Allah, and make sure that you don't be among those who are saying that you are practicing al-Islam when in fact you have incorporated so many things that Allah did not reveal in the Quran, and that Allah did not model in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and that Allah has not ordered for us. When we don't do that Allah has made, and Allah never fails in his promise. So mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We'll end this series at this time with this connection. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. All things in existence, they begin with Allah, and they end with Allah, and his word is the truth and the reality. Rabbana آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the things that we know. We thank you for the things that we don't know of your blessing. We thank you for the forgiveness given us that we know, and we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us that we don't know. Oh Allah, we thank you for the blessings of those things that you have blessed us to understand, and we pray to you for greater and deeper understanding, and we beg of you this understanding so that we can serve you more in this world, so that we can seek continually to make this world bear the impress and to express what it is that you want for the life of human beings in the life of the world. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. O Allah, enlighten us, protect us from the wiles of Shaitan. Bless us not to follow in the footsteps of Shaitan. Bless us not to be deceived by this world. And bless us not to allow the chief deceiver to deceive us about you. O Allah, without your help, we are helpless. Without your power and grace and mercy, we are without benefit. We are without life. We are without hope. For Allah, bless us. For always lean on your will for our existence. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. As we enter into the sacred month of Ramadan, for Allah, make this Ramadan a special Ramadan for us. Bless us to grow more than we have ever grown in any of the prior Ramadans. Bless us to understand the appropriate balance and the appropriate approach in order to get the fullest possible benefit of this sacred month of ours and this sacred month that you have made sacred for us. Bless us to hold it in the level of sanctity that you would have us. Bless us to emulate the best of the practices of Al-Islam, the best of those practices that have been modeled for us by your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah. Got kind of lengthy announcements today because there's a lot going on, and we'll have to detail them before we conclude with prayer. Now, poor Maya. Try not to cut nobody off. Okay. All right. Alhamdulillah, shukra. So mashallah, the last Ramadan class is going to be Sunday the 12th, I believe. It's Sunday the 12th, just today. Today is the 9th. So then that'll be the 11th. The 12th is Monday. So the last Ramadan class, 7 p.m. Also, the Anas children's class Tuesdays and Saturdays are continuing. And also, the Anas business loan program is also continuing. And we're seeking loan sponsorships. And you can contact Dr. Hanifa Shoaib Peters regarding details at mshspeters@gmail.com. Also, happy anniversary to Sadiq and Aisha Islam. 22 years. Wow. It's been a minute, huh? 22 years. Good for you. Alhamdulillah. Also, birthdays for Sharif Abdul Malik, alhamdulillah, April 6th. And our condolences to Naeem and Bilal Shabazz and the family whose aunt passed away in San Diego recently. Also, tonight, the Women of Mashawar theme monthly conference call, and I have a sense that this is well, the public should know, this is the fourth anniversary of the Women of Mashawar theme, so that call, I believe, is going to be a special call. That's tonight for the Women of Mashawar theme. Also, the men's group also is going to be called on Saturday. Also, a big thing that's going on for us on Saturday as well is the pre-Ramadan grocery giveaway. That's going to be at 10 a.m. In the yard behind, of course, behind the masjid. I may give you some more details. I'll finish this right here. May 22nd, there will be the virtual washing and shrouding for the men's group and the health and wellness sponsors. That's going to be a virtual Washington Shrouding seminar. That's going to be at 1 p.m. Our congratulations to Manaima Shaheed for her, CMS alum, for her recent promotion to CEO of Kit Metro Atlanta. Congratulations. Also, 3 days until Ramadan, inshallah. So you can call on Monday after 9:30 p.m. To see when the abstention actually begins. You know, the month of Ramadan begins with the new moon. Abstention begins with the sighting of the hilal. Also, now, next week, we are going to open for the limited capacity Jummah. So we're going to have Jummah both inside, and you'll also be able to listen or have, quote-unquote, Jummah outside in the back. And the capacity level is limited to 50%. Of whatever the building, let's call it, and that includes any building. But in our case, 50% capacity is, mashallah, very accommodating. But also, you'll be able to be outside as well. So we'll be observing all of the physical distancing requirements with the setup there, and also you have to have a mask. You can't come in without a mask. You also have to submit to that temperature gun. That temperature gun. When you come through the door, you have to pass that in order to come in. And also, the recommendation is to depart immediately. No lingering. There's not going to be any vending. There's not going to be any food. The recommendation is to move on with your day. And so the Jummah time, of course, is the same. And come with your own mask. If you're going to be outside and you're going to be on the grass, then bring your own prayer rug, and you actually should do that always. Of course, we're going to have very, very special cleaning of the carpeting between always every prayer when we do have the prayer for those who are praying inside. But for as far as the prayers on the outside, so there's not going to be any public rugs that you go, okay, I need a prayer rug. No, bring your own prayer rug. So that you will have, let's call it, your own bubble, you know, for that matter. So do that in order to ensure the best experience from that. Looking for another. All right. There's also a Ramadan bake sale. The iftars that are coming, they are sponsored by New Africa. That the details. Send me another detail if I'm missing. I'm going to read the announcement, the one I read last week or so. There's Ramadan bake sale fundraiser scheduled from the 11th to the 22nd. From the 11th to the 22nd. So, inshallah, we'll get some more details on that. Now, the pre-Ramadan food bag giveaway on Saturday is going to be in the backyard from 10 to 12 or until all the bags are distributed. And the contents of the bags will include halal chickens, fish, fruits, dates, rice, potatoes, and more. All believers are welcome to receive your bag, and also volunteers are welcome. I'm going to give you the number. The number is 200 that we have or will have, inshallah, and they're going to be here until they're gone. And so come to help also as well as receive. So there's an iftar schedule that I don't have in front of me right now that's going to be happening, sponsored by Africa Kitchen, and so we'll have to give you the details in the upcoming days on that. But there will be iftar, and there will be, since like when you go to restaurants, there are restaurants you go to now, and you do have outside dining. And so with, again, the same physical spacing, that kind of accommodation for those who may want to stay and pray. This is, it's not really a formal invitation. Come on, just stay and pray. No, just saying that that can be accommodated. For some people, it may be more convenient to do that. But we want to, again, respect the same COVID concerns that we have. Even as we do that, and our backyard and the property and the facilities manager doing an excellent job of upgrading everything. So we have this lighted space in the backyard, very very accommodating, very very welcoming. So New Africa Kitchen is going to be the first weekend, and then there's going to be Vegan Delight as the second weekend for the iftar, and then also the Women of Master Word theme will be sponsoring the third weekend. So apparently it seems to me that the iftars are all weekend iftars. So New Africa Kitchen the first weekend, and Vegan Delight the second weekend, Women of Master War theme the third weekend, and Sister Semia. Y'all know Sister Semia. We have two great Semias that associate with our community. Our other sister, former teacher, she's down in Southern Cal. This is my Sister Semia that we all know and love from the Bay. So, Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your patience, may Allah forgive us our shortcomings. And thank you for that, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحد على تأم المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أنا الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله استغفر الله. الحمد لله.
Some reason blocked out.